Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is Thursday, February 4th, my mother's birthday. Oh. And hi.
Watching, Madam Chair?
No, she is not. Oh. And we're going to go ahead, and today we're going to discuss two different issues, and we're going to be having work sessions, and I'm going to go ahead and open up those work sessions now. One is on the Department of State Lands federal grant application for Bay Watershed Education. We're going to be voting to accept that. And the other work session was on the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries report on improvements to business practices. So go ahead and open that, and Ms. Gilbert is going to go ahead and introduce the topics for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. This morning from the Department of State Lands, you will hear about the charmingly named Be Wet grant, and I would invite the DSL staff to come to the table and tell you more about it.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cindy Wickham. I'm the Assistant Director of Business Operations and Support Services at the Department of State Lands. We're here today to seek permission to apply for a BWET grant. I'll use the acronym since it's been out there already on the record. This grant comes from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. And this is the sixth year of funding for this program. Today I brought with me Joey Talley, who is our education coordinator at South SLU National Estuarine Research Reserve, and she's here to talk a little bit about the program and what we do with the grant funds.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joy Talley, and I'm the education coordinator at the South SLU National Estuarine Research Reserve. So for the past 6 years, this BWET grant has funded what we've named the Oregon Coast Education Program. So that's a partnership between the South SLU Reserve, the Oregon Coast Aquarium, the Hatfield Marine Science Center, Portland State University, the High Desert Museum, and the Northwest Aquatic and Marine Educators. And it helps to achieve the goals of South SLU's mission for education. So we do a lot of education field investigations based in science with pre-K through college students and their teachers. So this grant focuses on educating those teachers on how to do those field investigations and strengthening the tie from field experiences at South SLU or along the coast and what they're doing in their schools. So through the project over the last 6 years, three education modules have been created and are accessed on the Northwest Aquatic and Marine Educators website for Oregon teachers. We've put on yearly multi-day teacher professional workshops, as well as support those teachers throughout the school year and with some smaller half-day community workshops as well during the school year. So over that time, we've reached 225 teachers, and so through them, about 4,500 students. And in this 6 year of funding, so we're trying to strengthen that connection by working within the schools as opposed to with individual teachers. And we're going to create mentor teachers from teachers who have participated in the Oregon Coast Education Program previously. And this is continued funding for NOAA to do that.
Fantastic. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Senator Hansel.
I just want to make sure the application goes to NOAA. Is that where the funds are with the feds? Who actually is the grantor of the grant?
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It's their program is called the Bay Watershed Education and Training Program.
Okay.
Is the source of the funds.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just because a question arose just outside this room. This is a $60,000 grant, which is significant. How much time has been spent in preparation for the grant and in terms of preparing it and communicating with people, and how much resources will we be expending to get the $60,000 grant, if you had to estimate?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I would estimate about probably 20 or 25 hours of my time and you know, computer-based resources, as well as there is the partners on this program. They contribute to the writing of the grant as well from the different organizations.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. If there aren't any objections, I will ask for a motion.
The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approving the request to apply for $60,000 from NOAA with the understanding that if the grant is awarded, the department will request additional federal funds expenditure limitation from the Emergency Board.
Okay. Motion?
Move the recommendation from LFO.
Okay. Discussion? Great. If there are any objections, we'll go ahead and pass this. And so we need to have this carried or no? No, not we do.
Yes,
okay.
At the full.
Okay. Who would like to?
I think the Coastal Everton. Caucus.
It seems appropriate.
Always happy to help, Madam
okay,
Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gromberg. It seems appropriate since it's the ocean near you. So fantastic. Okay. So now we are going to move to the next topic on the agenda. We have the, Brad Avey, if he would like to come up. Do you want to come on up? And we already opened the work session on this. And again, this is going to be reporting on the improvements to business practices. So.
Co-Chair Taylor, Co-Chair Devlin, members of the committee. My name is Brad Avey, Director of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. With me today, I'll have our two assistant directors initially, Rich Riggs, who's the Assistant Director and Manager of the Mineral Lands Regulation and Reclamation Program. We're presenting today our progress on budget note action items related to Senate Bill 5512. The first slide up is a summary of the action items. You'll notice that a couple of them are fairly near to completion, and there are some that have some work yet to be done. The ones that are nearing completion are the foundational action items in order to accomplish the rest of the work needed under the remaining action items. We'll be going through each one of those individually in describing the work we've done to date on those.
Pardon me, Mr. Avery. I'm going to. I made a mistake, and we need to go ahead and introduce the item on the agenda. So I'm going to turn it over to LFO here. And
Chair Taylor, members of the committee, just real quick, Director Avey kind of summed it up there. But Senate Bill 5512 was the agency's budget bill last session. That included a couple of budget notes, one of which they're here to report on today. And as he said, it's report on their progress to implement appropriate measures to improve their business practices. Some issues were uncovered through the session. Legislature provided them with a budget that stabilized things, but they also needed to continue looking into certain things and take certain actions as far as updating accounting, basic level accounting structures, things like that, and that's what they're here to report on today.
Okay, great. Thank you. Go ahead and continue.
Sure. Also, just a note, way of background, for the management team at Togami, our most senior, Rich Riggs, has been here a year. Holly, who will come up in a minute, since September, and our CFO since the October timeframe, and myself for the last 2 months. So just for perspective there. So the slide under detailed accounting architecture, the action item, as I mentioned, is a foundational element to bringing some financial stability to the department and to business operations, and it included setting up accounting structures so that both the financial elements and the project elements speak to each other. And the accounts speak to each other. We were also asked to separate the LIDAR program, which has been separated out under the accounting, and to get a handle on the grant structure and how to track that in a way that is more efficient. Thanks. A similar action item talks about updating the accounting systems that we've had at the department. And implementing modern practices. We've done that with the assistance of DAS and their oversight, as well as LFO. We've established automated accounting systems to track and monitor invoices, analyze labor costs and coding, as well as consistent project identification. And that's been a really important element so that we can track projects against charges to the grant. So with that, Rich will speak to the work under the Mining Lands Program.
Thank you, Chairs Devlin, Taylor, committee members. I'm Richard Riggs, Assistant Director for the MLR program. As you may remember, last year we had an industry-supported bill, House Bill 3563, that went forward right at the very end of session that raised our fees for the first time in 10 years. So part of our budget note was to continue to report on these fees and the fee structure to make sure we're monitoring our revenue and expenditures. The fee structure went into place January 1st, so we are just starting to get the initial revenue back. We have done some projections as far when we worked with industry on the bill. One of the things was the industry reports on aggregate production across the state for the entire year. For the bill itself, we projected 30 million tons based on historical averages, and this past 12 months we had 31 million tons. So that's a step in the right direction. Our projection was a little more conservative, and so we'll have a little additional revenue there, not much, but just a little bit. And so we are hopeful that we will continue to see an uptick in production across the state, and that we will definitely meet our revenue projections or exceed them. Part of the business model assessment also includes a detailed accounting code. We had previously we captured all of our revenue into one pot, and it was not detailed by category how we were receiving these. So we've broken that out, established a very, very clear accounting structure with definite codes for each revenue stream that comes in, so we can track that much more closely. We're also working on our indirect cost proposal to the MLR program itself. Does not have the financial shop or the HR shop. That resides with the GSNS, the Geologic Sciences and Survey Program, in the Portland office. So we reimburse them for those costs. And we have initially set that at $150,000 for an indirect reimbursement rate. That's based on what historically the program has reimbursed the GSNS program for, and we're going to reassess that come July to make sure that that is still a good number, and may adjust that up or down as necessary. One of the other issues that was uncovered when I first took my job a year ago was the reclamation funds that the agency holds. We hold almost $400,000 in reclamation funds for some of our miners. There's 39 aggregate miners and 3 geothermal miners that we hold funds for. And that's about $400,000 in reclamation funds. And those funds were linked and pooled with the operational funds. And when we went through this process of reexamining our financial picture, we discovered that and immediately severed those funds to make sure that they weren't spent. Think of it kind of, they were acting as an overdraft account for the operational account. Those monies have all been accounted for. They weren't spent. We have gone through House Bill 3563 created a reclamation guarantee fund. So we have transferred those monies into this new reclamation guarantee fund, with the exception of there's two deposits that we're still researching, one for $1,000 and one for $5,900. So just under $7,000 left that we're trying to identify. All the other funds in that account were either identified with current projects or with projects that have been reclaimed and that the agency had expended funds out of the operational account, and we were able to reimburse ourselves out of that fund because we had not done that accounting properly in the past. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions about my couple of slides.
Senator Duffman.
I want to be careful how I ask this question. As you know, the difficulties that the agency had in the last year and the issues in terms of the increased oversight by the Department of Administrative Services. and that there was never any evidence of any malfeasance, only the potential use of trust funds for inappropriate uses. However, has there been any discussion behind the scenes of a sort of associated issue, maybe more than of an explanation than in any way an excuse, but an explanation, is that the previous director, when she came before this committee and talked to other people behind the scenes, basically indicated that in a lot of ways the agency had become an agency for hire. Very grant dependent, obviously, and also dependent upon work from other public entities that would come forward. So that, in a sense, the director, and now you in that position as the director, felt that, like, to maintain staff, you didn't really have a core level of support within the agency or the functions of the agency from the state level. And so, in a sense, you became an agency for hire. Not that there's any problem that a lot of agencies are grant dependent, and a lot are, but about how you maintain sort of the core functions of the agency when you are so dependent on grants and outside work, to be just honest.
Right, and one of the action items under the budget note was to look at our long-term sustainability and funding model. And that's our 20% on that initial slide. We have just begun looking at that. It's going to take some time, and it will involve stakeholders and outreach in terms of what Oregonians expect of the agency, what we can deliver, and I think it'll take a fair amount of exploration to see how sustainable the model is. Certainly, even today, and we'll talk about it later in this presentation, there are gaps starting the biennium with what our budget amount is. So it continues to be an issue.
Yeah. Madam Chair, if I just might comment, I think it's an issue not in a sense that the grants or that the outside work is inconsistent with public policy, because in almost all cases they have been consistent with public policy. But if the mission of the agency is a broad benefit to the public, then there should be perhaps a greater general fund contribution to the agency in terms of maintaining those functions, so that we don't face these issues again in the future, so that future directors feel like that. And again, not excusing the behavior that occurred, I'm only saying that there should be a greater dedication of broad general fund resources to the agency if the agency's mission is actually fulfilling a broad public purpose.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, just a quick observation, Madam Co-Chair. I'm very pleased that Dogami's here today and that the movement they're reporting is in their upper management and not out on my coastline.
Continuing at the larger agency level, one of the deficiencies has been insufficient written policy and procedures related to accounting and business operations. So we're working on getting those in order. It'll take some time. The procedures are in order. It's the written that will take a little more time, and we hope to have those done by the end of June. And one note is that we did hire a CFO person that reports to the director to help keep on track with all the finance and business operations. The same action item speaks to standardizing our project management approach. We've implemented a process where the agency management vets projects coming in to make sure they're in line with the type of work we should be doing, but also, does it make sense? Is there a match, and do we have sufficient funds to meet that match? We've implemented a written legislative approval process for federal grants. We're educating staff on the importance of tracking costs by the individual projects and reporting those out, and we're also exploring currently project management software so that we can have the finance and the project piece speak better to each other and keep those on track. Still at 50%, still a lot of work yet to be done, but we are making progress. At this point, I'd like to introduce Holly Mercer, Assistant Director of the Geologic Survey and Services Program. As I mentioned earlier, she's been with the department since September, and she'll be speaking to the program and action items under that.
Good morning, co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Holly Mercer. I'm Assistant Director for the Geological Survey and Services Program of the agency. As Brad mentioned, I came to the agency in September from the healthcare licensing field, primarily. Knows a few of you through that position. But anyway, it is an incredibly different funding model than professional licensing. Not to say that professional licensing financing is simplistic, but it is definitely less complex than we have in this small agency. And it's the first time in my career with the state that I've dealt with multiple funding streams and now understand the challenge around the infrastructure. There is much more work to do in this piece of our mission. We do have a broad mission. And I think that what we have done, as co-chair Devlin pointed out, is we have not felt from an agency perspective that we've had the luxury in the last probably decade to pick and choose as to which funding opportunities we take. We go with our broad mission. We have an incredible staff of project managers, and I really want to emphasize with this committee that the project management and those people that are creative, they keep their networks in place, they garner funds, they track those funds, they make sure the work is done, they provide the credibility around this agency, have stayed the course with this agency, and I really do want to emphasize that. Most of that staff reports directly to me, 23 people. And every single pay period, and now that we're on e-time, I click through every day and make sure that their coding is appropriate for the projects that they're working on. And to Senator Devlin's point, we are now we have a specific code for general fund that is dedicated to the proposal development, because it's a sizable portion of the work that we do. So one thing that we think in terms of assessing the business model and trying to figure out if it's really sustainable from an operational and fiscal perspective is to get back to our KPMs, our key performance measures. They were in dire need of revision last session. Because of the situation that the agency was in, we did not take on that massive work, but we've already alerted our board that in the next few months we will be spending many hours with them developing those KPMs. And in that effort, we'll be talking to other agencies and seeing if there's redundancies in the work we do, if there's a better way to work with them, streamline, and partnership more. So we're going to be doing that work. Out of our 11 key performance measures, 9 of those probably need to be revised or deleted. And so we'll be coming back to you and talking about that. In that process, we think we're going to be more detailed about our strategic planning. How do we measure what we do? And then coming back to you for final approval during the budget process. This slide, we originally had just your standard org chart, and our internal group looked at it and said, well, really, what are we trying to explain here? So we've packed a lot into this slide. The right upper corner explains our 42 budgeted positions. 11 of those positions are over in the MLRR program. And as Rich Riggs described, it's a very different funding model than we have on the GS&S side. It is other funded, it is regulatory, it is licensure and permit based. And then on the GS&S side, which has the bulk of our positions, it's very much project-oriented and heavily reliant on project management. So we broke out our business by the areas that we focus on. Some of these are through the strategic framework, which is attached to your budget material today. But it's also, this is the work that we do. And you can see there's actually very few staff dedicated to these very large pieces of our work. In the LIDAR mapping, for example, absolutely huge portfolio, up to 20 different projects with more than 70 different contracts among federal, city, state, county entities that our LIDAR consortium worked with those partners so that even those small local county agencies are able to get that very detailed and sophisticated mapping. Over on the tsunami coastal area, we've got one permanent position and one limited duration position. You'll see up in the right-hand corner that we have 8 vacancies, 2 in the MLRR program and 6 in the GS&S program. We are filling some of that work to be done through temporary assignments. And fortunately, we've had a steady stream of people that are interested in working with us. And we have some very talented people even performing temporary assignments to get the work done. We probably will be moving into trying to create additional limited duration positions. We have some permanent positions that we could fill. We've been hesitant to do that. Until we are very firm footing in terms of our budget side. But we can't stop doing work. We need to keep these positions filled and meet our deliverables. So we felt that this slide very much described in more detail and visually the pockets of work that we have. And we do feel that with our new accounting architecture, we will be able to be more precise in how we are expending those funds and provide detailed reporting. The piece that Brad had mentioned in the previous slide about project management, we are working diligently to create a project management system that is consistent among all of our project managers. Currently, it is not. We get a variety of spreadsheets. They do the work. They get the work done. But what we need to do is roll it up to the management level so that we can provide consistent reports. And we're talking with the vendor now about creating that system and then having all of our projects on the same system. Any questions for them?
Does anyone have any questions? I'm just curious, who took your position from who replaced you in your old job?
Okay, so I was the director of the health licensing.
Yes, I know, I remember, yes.
And so Sylvie Donaldson, who was the fiscal manager at the time, is in it at the interim level.
Oh, so, okay, yeah. Well, it makes me nervous because you were so good there.
Oh, thank you.
And so I just hope they found somebody who's as good as you are there.
Oh, yes, she's very, very capable.
Okay,
thank
good.
You.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
Thank you.
So we got to keep our talented people within government here. So, okay, does anybody else have any? Yes.
I do have a question, not related directly to this slide, but it goes back to Senator Devlin's point about, you know, the need for the department to have not only sustainability but stability, as it were, you know, during the ups and downs of grants. And you know, I assume that most of the federal grants, anyway, you attach some overhead charges to it, right? And, you know, presumably some of that goes into a reserve or could go into a reserve to help you get through the, you know, the times where you're in between grants so that you can keep people on staff. Is that sort of a standard practice, you know, in your field? And are there any limitations to what you can, you know, use that overhead money for? I mean, is it okay to use that for the ongoing infrastructure of the department, the stability?
co-chairs and Senator Dembro. Yes, it's called an indirect cost. And we actually brought in Kim Rydell, our chief financial officer, from the Public Health Division, because she had experience putting together indirect cost proposals. And those have to be approved at the federal level. And last year it was around 23%. It's the new one for 2016 will be close to 28%. So that does help offset to some degree. What we don't know is the predictability and sustainability, because it's tied to the actual grants. We still need to secure the grants and the projects in order to even charge that indirect cost. So it is, it's monitoring that. I do want to point out, though, that to Senator Devlin's point, we will be coming back to this committee toward the end of the month, I believe. I'm looking at John. Because we also, as part of this budget note, had an IT assessment. And we feel that in terms of our infrastructure, it is a critical need of our agency to appropriately fund that IT program. We have not done so in the past. We have used a 0.5 GIS technician to help with that and an outside vendor. And in order to bring our absolutely significant data into the state secure systems, we will need funding for that. But yeah, we will come back on another piece of the report.
Great. And if I could just follow up, I mean, I very much agree with Senator Devlin's point that we should be putting more general fund dollars into the department, particularly because so much of the work that you do really is general fund type work. But you know, over the long term, you know, if that could be supplemented, right, by a growing sort of reserves that, you know, through, you know, a set, taking a set amount from the indirects on the different grants, you know, then it may be possible for the state to sort of stabilize or even reduce the amount of general fund that goes in over time in an ideal world.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay.
The last two slides are specific to the budget itself, and this particular one shows on the left the relative percent of positions in the two programs, about a quarter of them in mining land regulation and reclamation. But as you move over to the center one, you'll see a higher than 75% for geologic survey and services, which is really a function of the higher percentage of the agency's leadership reflected in that percentage. This is just to kind of give a framework for the next slide, which is specific to GS&S and its funding sources. General fund's been mentioned on the federal side. That's where we have currently a gap between now and the end of the biennium, as well as a gap in other funds. And we're continuing to pursue grants and working those avenues. But it does create the volatility that's been discussed and some uncertainty among folks. And Holly's mentioned our temporary staff and limited duration. And that's in part a function of the not having secure funding and not wanting to commit out beyond what we know. The funding also in this particular model, we always have to be really careful that we don't get outside of our mission, because it's a temptation to go after whatever money is available, and it may not align as well as it should. And so that the management team vetting process I mentioned earlier is helpful in having those discussions. On the initial slide that we presented today, there are a number of action items that we will continue to work and anticipate coming back in December to report out on. We've appreciated the support from the Department of Administrative Services as well as the legislature to get to this point. If I could just make a request for support in in looking at the history of the agency and then looking forward, it would be really helpful to have a line in the sand about what happened in the past versus what happened moving forward. And so what we're hoping to have is a new director's audit at some point, sooner than later, so that we can have that point of reference as we move forward and make these changes, hoping that we'll land on a funding model and a future that's sustainable, and appreciate your support. Any questions for either of us?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
It's no issue you should be concerned about, but you gave me an opening this afternoon, actually, for discussion with the Secretary of State, so.
Thank you.
Yes. New director audits are very good and very useful, and they are a tool that should be used as often as possible, by all means. Okay. Do we need to? Anything else? Okay, LFO, if you can give us your recommendation, please.
Chair Taylor, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends acknowledging and receive the report with the understanding that the department will return to the December 2016 meeting of the Emergency Board to report on its continued progress on the following. There's three specific items which were also listed in the original budget note. The first one is review of the agency's core operations, program priorities, and funding sources. The second is review of the agency's cash flows by program and application of indirect rates that fund some administrative functions. And the number three is to review the current fee structures and the level of fee revenue necessary to cover program costs within the mine land reclamation and regulation program.
Okay, thank you. May I have a motion, please?
Move to accept the report.
Thank you. Any discussion? Objections? Okay, we'll go ahead and pass that, and we need a carrier.
I would do it.
Okay, thank you, Senator Hansel. And I think, yes, Senator.
I just wanted to remind the committee that I'm back to my old schedule. I will be here on Thursdays, but if anybody needs me on Tuesdays, I will be just down the hall.
Very nice. So. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Okay, thank you all. We'll go ahead and close the meeting for today. Thank you. Meeting for today. Thank you. Thank you all. We'll go ahead and close the